This is Dr. Seed, and this is Lecture 2 on the Nature of Bonds. I want to let you know that a bond is a contract. It's a contract between the borrowing company and the lender. The borrowing company takes the money and uses it for capital purposes, or they may end up using the money to buy equipment in lieu of taking a note at the bank. If you look on page 464, you will see the different types of bonds listed up there, the ones that are secured and how the bond interest is paid on those particular bonds and how the bonds mature. But let's take a look at how we determine the bond's issuance price. And remember, on the bottom of page 465, remember that bonds are issued at a fixed amount, usually at a $1,000 face. And then the interest is paid either quarterly or sometimes semi-annually or annually over the life of the bond. Let's take a look at the bottom of 465. For example, assume that Denver Company issues 10% five-year bonds with a total face value of $800,000. Interest to be paid semi-annually. The information tells us that Denver agrees to pay the $40,000, or which is the $800,000 times 10% times 1/2 year, in an interest every 6 months, and also agrees to pay the investors the principal amount of $800,000 at the end of 5 years. So what we're seeing here then is we have $100,000 worth of bonds that are being paid over the life of the bond at 10% interest. If you look on the top of page 466, you will see that there is a graph of the $800,000 face value bonds and the interest being paid semi-annually after 6 months of the first year, then the first year, and then the second, third, fourth, and fifth year. And then after the fifth year, the bonds mature and the $800,000 must be paid back to the lender. Now, bonds are not always sold at the face value. In fact, most of the time, bonds are either sold at a premium or a discount. A discount means that you're actually paying less than the face value of the bond, and a premium means that you may be paying more than the face value of the bond. And a lot of that depends on the nature of the bond, the time it's being traded, the market levels of interest rates, and whether or not the bond is risky or not. Now let's turn over to page 469 and let's take a look at this example of Central Trucking Company. We see that Central Trucking Company, their accounting year ended December 31. They have face values of bonds that were issued at $100,000. The stated interest rate is 12%. Effective interest rate when issued, of course, is 12%. So we're not computing any stated present value discounts or premiums. The initial date of issuance was January 1 of 2012, and the date of maturity was January 1, 2022. And they're paying interest on a semi-annual rate on January 1 and July 1. So let's take a look. Central Trucking Company issued $100,000 bonds with a stated interest rate of 12% on January 1 of 2012. The bonds were issued at face value because 12% is the effective or market rate of interest for similar bonds. The journal to record the issuance of the January 1, 2012 is as follows. We have a debit to cash of $100,000 and a credit to bonds payable of $100,000. Now that entry recorded the face value of the bonds at that particular time. Let's take a look at the bottom of that page. You see bond interest expense. The first semi-annual payment of interest on July 1 is $6,000, and they paid cash for it, so they have a debit to bond interest expense for $6,000 and a credit to cash for $6,000, which is the one-half payment interest per year payment that was paid after 6 months had lapsed. Now it says at the bottom of page 469, because Central Trucking operates on a calendar year basis, it will need to make the following adjusting entry on December 31, 2012 to account for the interest expense between July 1 and December 31 of 2012. So we are going to go ahead and accrue the interest now, which would be a debit to bond interest expense of $6,000 and a credit to bond interest payable for $6,000. And what we're going to do now is we're going to recognize the other half of interest that has not been paid on that particular face value of the bonds. Now, if you look on page 470, you will see the December 31, 2012 financial statements You'll see on the income statement that we have bond interest expense. It's being reported at the two semi-annual payments of $6,000 times two, which is two payments, is $12,000. And on the balance sheet, on the current liabilities, which are those liabilities that are due within the year, which is the $6,000, which is the interest expense that's been accrued. And then you'll see long-term liabilities on the bonds payable that are due to be paid on January 1, 2022 of $100,000. Remember in the prior lecture, we talked about long-term liabilities being those liabilities that are to be paid after the one-year period. So these bonds are really not even going to be paid till 2022, so they will remain as long-term liabilities on the balance sheet until that time. And, of course, when that accrued interest is paid, we have a debit to bond interest payable of $6,000 and a credit to cash for $6,000 to pay the semi-annual bond interest that was going to be paid on January 1 of 2013. But remember, we accrued that interest in the prior year because to properly match revenues and expenses, we have to show that interest as being an expense in the year in which it was incurred, not the year that it was paid, but the year that it was incurred. Very, very important accounting theory there. Now, at the end of 2022, we're going to pay off these bonds, so it'll be a debit to bonds payable of $100,000 and a credit to cash of $100,000 to retire the $100,000 10-year 12% bonds. Now, Dr. Dodgen will be with you to talk about how you account for bond premiums and bond discounts, and I will be very clear out of his lectures what we will cover on the test, so don't worry. We will make for sure that you understand and completely about what we're going to do on bond premiums and discounts. So now let's move over to talk about a few ratios, and we'll be through. There are three ratios I want you to know. One is the debt ratio, one is the debt to equity ratio, and the other is the time interest earned ratio, or what may be called the interest earned ratio also. The debt ratio is by taking the total liabilities on the balance sheet divided by the total assets. And if you will see for Disney for 2008, at the middle of the page there on 472, they had total liabilities. Now, these are in millions of dollars, of course, of 30.174 divided by their total assets of 62.497, which gave them a debt ratio of 48.3%, which means that their liabilities were 48.3% of their assets. Very important ratio to know. Also, you need to know the debt-to-equity ratio, which is the total liabilities divided by total stockholders' equity. So we're looking at Disney again. We see that their total liabilities was 30,174. Their total stockholders' equity was 32.323, which means that their total liabilities was 93% of their equity in the corporation. So the debt-to-equity ratio was 93%. Now let's take a look at the interest earned ratio, which is the income before interest and taxes, which is the operating profit, and you're going to take that divided by the annual interest expense. So in this particular case for Disney for 2008, their income before interest and taxes in millions of dollars was 7.345. And their interest annual interest expense was 5.24. So it really means then that their interest turned over 14 times in that particular fiscal period. Now, Dr. Dodgen will be with you next week because I'll be in California. Please be sure that if you have any questions over the materials we've covered, either in Lecture 1 or Lecture 2, you may email me. It may take me a couple of days to get back with you because I'll be very busy out there dealing with a client. But make for sure that if you have any questions, you sure can get in touch with me. And also, the homework assignments for Lecture 1 and 2 will be also posted when you get the email from Dallas Christian College. Thank you very much, and we'll see you the first week of March when we have our review on March 1. And then after that, we will take our test on March 3rd. Make sure you bring all your questions so that we can make sure that you know and are ready for this first midterm exam. Thank you very much.